Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we are now recording. How you like that? Okay. I wanted to take some time tonight and then maybe some more time tomorrow night. And with that, we will go and try to do our best of doing at least the highlights of Hilchos Pesach in these two short series. We'll start off with Shabbos HaGadol. This coming Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol. It's all good. On the one hand, we have Shabbos HaGadol. On the other hand, you don't have to listen to a Shabbos HaGadol drasha. So it's a win-win year this year. It's a very interesting Shabbos HaGadol this year because Shabbos HaGadol originally was on Yud Nisan. Yud Nisan was a special day. It was the day that they were told Mishku Kchu. That was the day that they were told to take the Korban Pesach. Now, it happened to be in the very first year that the Yud Nisan, the day that they were told to take the Korban Pesach, happened to be a Shabbos. So because of that, every year we celebrate the Shabbos beforehand as Shabbos HaGadol, even if it's not Yud Nisan. This year it happens to be that everything falls out the same way it fell out at the time of the original Yetzias Mitzrayim. When they went out of Mitzrayim, they went out on a Wednesday night. They went out on a Wednesday night, which was Tesvav, and this year also Wednesday night is Tesvav, and therefore the Shabbos is Yud Nisan. This happens to be one of the years where everything works out absolutely perfect. Many people have a tradition to say the first half of the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. This is a minug that most Hasidim have. The Gra did not have this minug. The Gra says that when we read in the Haggadah, it says, Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh, Talmud Lomer, Balayla Hazed, that really, that you might have thought that the mitzvah of reading the Haggadah started in the month. But in fact, we say clearly it does not begin until that night. So because of that, the Gra says you're not supposed to read the Haggadah before the night of Pesach itself, and therefore the Gra did not follow this tradition. The Gra did not have the tradition of reading the Haggadah on the night of Pesach. So therefore, many people do not have the minug. Again, among the Hasidim, there definitely is a minug. Among the non-Hasidim, if you don't follow the Gra, it could go either way. The next major mitzvah that we have on Pesach is the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. Now, the truth of the matter is, according to the Torah, you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz was a mitzvah derabbanan that the rabbis instituted. Why? That really, according to the Torah, so we spoke about last week when we began our discussion of Pesach, we mentioned the fact that that there's a mitzvah to get rid of the chametz, bal yimotze. This mitzvah is not, the same mitzvah is not eating, it's not as serious. But you're also, besides not allowed to eat the chametz, you're not allowed to own it. Not only, but once you're not allowed to own the chametz, right? So what does it take to not own the chametz? So technically, all you have to do is bittul. When you get up and say, kol chamira vechamia, any chametz that I have, the ikar birshusi, right, the yadana, the lo yadana, as we say by the day, whether I know about it or I don't know it, they have a hefker ka'afra da'ara. It should be hefker, it's ownerless. Meaning that if anybody comes along and takes my chametz, I don't care, it's not mine anymore. Once you do that, that actually works. That really, midoraisa sagi bebitl, that according to the Torah, just saying that it's not my chametz, that's what it is. Even if I have a box of Cheerios sitting on my kitchen table throughout Pesach, according to the Torah, as long as I announce it's not my chametz, it's not my Cheerios, that would be fine. The rabbis instituted that besides not being able to use an umbrella, you also have to do bedikas chametz. Why did they add that as well? Umbrellas, we know why they did, because they hate us. But why did they do this bedikas chametz? So there's really two reasons given in the Gemara. One reason in the Gemara is you have to do it with your full heart. You really have to mean it. If I went and had a box of Cheerios sitting on my kitchen table, and I said, it's bittul, and then some guy walked in and took it, would I really not mind at all? Right? That since the bittul has to be balev, it has to really be something that you mean. So that is the reason why that bittul chametz, we said, is not enough. Also, there is a concern that I might find on Pesach some chametz, a gluskor yafe. I might, it's ready the third day of Chol Moed, I'm platzing, and all of a sudden I find myself a thing of Entenmann's donuts. And I might say, you know what, I could really go for a donut now. So therefore, because of these two concerns, not we don't rely just on bittul, but we actually have to have beer, we have to get rid of the chametz. And since we have to get rid of the chametz before, and we have to find the chametz. And that is the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. The mitzvah of bedikas chametz is only on the night before Pesach. If somebody is leaving for Pesach, which is a lot less common this year than it is in most years, then if you're leaving within the 30 days beforehand, you're supposed to do bedikah, but without a bracha. Since you can't do it, we don't allow you to do a bracha, we don't do a bracha because it's not the night of. And in fact, we wait till it's truly nighttime until after Tzeis HaKochavim. That is the proper time to do bedikas chametz. What do you have to check? Where do you have to check? Well, this is related to the more important question of what do you have to clean? In general, where do I have to clean for Pesach? So the halacha is wherever there's a possibility you had chametz during the year, that's where you have to clean for Pesach. So if somebody, there are people who eat cookies in their beds. If you eat cookies in your bedroom, you have to clean out the bedroom for Pesach. If a person never brings cookies into their bedroom, they're makbid not to eat in their bedroom because they don't want to get the cookie crumbs between the sheets or whatever reason it is, then you don't have to clean your bedroom at all, right? Your garage, it depends. You ever bring food into the garage? Is there a possibility you brought food into the garage? There's a possibility you brought food into the garage, then you have to clean the garage. If there's no possibilities, you don't have to clean it. And if you don't have to clean any of these places, you don't have to do bedikah. Now, it's not just a matter of the house, right? In fact, many people have the minhag of eating their breakfast in the car, right? That they multitask. Same time that they're driving to work in the morning, they're also eating a Danish, right? I remember finding over the years that the car has more chametz than any other place. So if your car has a lot of chametz, so you have to be very careful to clean out the car. Somebody today from Eidos emailed me and they said that every year they go away, this year they're not, and they have so much chametz in the car, they want to sell their car. Rabbi, am I allowed to sell the car? The answer is yes, you're allowed to sell the car. Absolutely, without any problem, you're allowed to sell the car for sure. And so too, in terms of bedikah, you might not have to do bedikah in your car, but it's not part of your house, but in terms of cleaning it, you have to be very careful to clean it out without a question. When, for years and years, and I assume they still do this, we always get in the mail some tzedakah organization selling us a bedikas chametz kit. Right? People still get bedikas chametz kits in the mail? You used to get it. Do you get? It's like you're muted. You have to press a button if you want to talk. Can you figure it out?
I used to get it, but I haven't received one this year. I don't remember getting one for several years.
Yeah.
Anybody? I have. I got two of them this year.
Oh, so you got
it. Then I'll have to get one from you.
We didn't get a free in the mail.
I didn't get any.
I thought a Bedikas Chametz kit.
Oh, okay. I never gotten one in my life.
So I said Ashkenazim, so that explains that. Obviously, we see that Ted's been very generous with giving to that organization, and Patty and Neil's like not as much. That's clearly what's going on here. What's in the Bedikas Chametz kit? So you have the Hanukkah candle, you have the odd and wooden spoon, and the feather, and the piece of paper. What are the purpose of these things? I'll be darned if I know. Where this comes from, I have no idea. It happens to be in the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about the feather, that you should use it to sweep up. The truth of the matter, the idea behind the Bedikas Chametz is you're supposed to do your best to find Chametz, and if you find it, you're supposed to get rid of it. If you find that you will do a better job sweeping with a broom than you'll do with a feather, then a broom is a better idea. Similarly, what I often recommend and what we do in our household is instead of using a candle, we use a flashlight. Right? What's the idea? They tell us, they tell you in the Shulchan Aruch that why do you use a candle? You're supposed to use a candle as opposed to a torch. Why doesn't the torch give you better light? So the answer is not really, because if you want to check under your bed, you'll be willing to check under your bed with a candle, but it's a bad idea to check under your bed with a torch, right? It's, you know, it'll provide warmth in the winter. That's a good thing. But in terms of, and it'll be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Bedika and Bir Chametz at the same time. I guess that's a net positive. And next year, it won't be so hard to check for your Chametz because you won't have a house anymore. So that's the reason why they tell you it's dead better to use a candle. But if there's something that would provide better light, and at the same time, it would also not burn down the house, like this great invention called the flashlight, that would be a net positive. So that's what we do. I remember for years and years, we had to make sure that we had a flashlight to make sure the batteries were working. But Bisman has, as Cantor Cole will show you, that he has this great new invention, and it's pink, and it's called the smartphone. Use your smartphone for Bedikas Chametz. It's better than a Hanukkah candle. It provides very good light. It works, and that is strongly recommended. So therefore, there's no mitzvah to use a candle. It's not like Hanukkah, right? There's no mitzvah to use a candle. In fact, using your cell phone for Bedikas Chametz would be a better idea than to use a candle, and I would recommend it. That is the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. When you do Bedikas Chametz, the bracha that you make is not Al Bedikas Chametz, but Al Bior Chametz.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Yes, Jesse.
Alexa to do Bedikas Chametz for you?
I don't know. Have you tried?
I mean, in the modern times nowadays, you just tell her, Alexa, do Bedika.
I have a riot.
You command the computer to do the Bedika for you in Fartik.
Yossi, I have a riot. It doesn't work. My riot is, if you could have Alexa do that, Antonio would be out of a job.
Oh.
The riot that if you start paying Antonio, that means Alexa can't do it. That's my riot. So in terms of the Bedika, the idea is to find it. We make the bracha al bir chametz, since there's no real mitzvah to find. The mitzvah is to get rid of it. So therefore, the bracha we're making is on the end product, which is the getting rid of it. Now, there is an ancient tradition to put out 10 crumbs, to put out 10 pieces of chametz beforehand. Where did that come from? Why did it come from? So if you ask most people, they'll tell you the reason we do it is because it shouldn't be a bracha of Atola. I'm going to go and make a bracha on the Bedikas Chametz. Then I'm not going to find anything. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim and the Achronim think that that's a joke. The mitzvah is to look. The mitzvah is to make sure that there's no Chametz. Therefore, whether you find or not, it doesn't make a difference. I looked, I didn't find, that's great. And in fact, in most cases, people tend to not find, because in most cases, everything was cleaned up beforehand. So what's the reason that we do this? So the reason that we do it nowadays is a totally different reason. The reason that we do it is because there's also a mitzvah, besides the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, there's also a mitzvah of Bir Chametz, meaning that there's a mitzvah we call Tashbisu. In Parsha's bow, in the very beginning of the Parsha, beginning of the mitzvahs that are listed in the Torah, can't the call how many mitzvahs are there in Parsha's bow? You're muted. So 20, he says, right? There we have it. One of the mitzvahs is mitzvahs tashbisa, that if I have chametz, I should destroy it. There's a lot of discussion going on about whether a person is obligated to put themselves into a position where they have to do a mitzvah. Let me give you an example. This comes up in many different cases, right? There are a lot of mitzvahs that a person has a choice whether they want to do it or not. So, for example, the mitzvah of shechita, right? According to several opinions, there is a mitzvah when I shecht an animal. Well, let's say I'm a vegetarian. Let's say I don't want fleshiks, right? Is there a mitzvah for me to go kill an animal just because I should do the mitzvah? Or no, is this a matter of if I want fleshiks, so then I do shechita. If I don't want fleshiks, I don't do shechita. Right? There are a lot of mitzvahs like that. It's funny. The Rambam lists off one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, is to divorce your wife. So most people assume that you know, this isn't, we could start, you know, an Edo's project. People should go be mekayim the mitzvah of divorcing their wives. We'll do outreach, you know. You're sure you're really happily married, you know. These are the reasons why you might want to divorce your wife. We could start rumors, etc., right? We'd be on the cutting edge here. Or more likely what we do is that's not what we do. It's a question. If a couple no longer wants to be married, so then you do divorce. Probably one of the greatest examples in this past week's parsha. In this week's parsha, there's a mitzvah of a, if somebody stole something, it says at the very end of the parsha that there is a mitzvah to return what you stole. So I want to do all the mitzvahs. So why did you steal? I stole because if I didn't steal, how could I be mekayim the mitzvah of returning it? I did it for all the right reasons. So we assume not that way. However, there are other times when we say you do try to do a mitzvah for that sake. So, for example, tzitzis. There is an obligation. If somebody is wearing a four-cornered garment, then they should put tzitzis on it. But what if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment? Is it an avera? No, it's not an avera. It's if then. Still, we encourage people to put themselves into a situation where they will be able to be mekayim a mitzvah. So too, this is another case that we tell people, leave over some chametz, and by leaving over some chametz, that will give you the ability to mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisa. So that's why we put out the 10 pieces of bread. Now,
I have a question.
Yes.
Before you get too far. If I have a poncho that has four corners, should I be putting tzitzit on it?
So again, you know, some people I can see them and some people I can't see them. But if I had to guess, I would think that the person I'm talking to is not obligated in positive time-bound commandments. And tzitzis is one of those. Tzitzis, only men are obligated in tzitzis, not women. Women have a right to wear a four-cornered garment without putting on tzitzis. However, if this was a man on the question, the answer would be yes. Assuming it is a woven material, and it's made out of the type of material that is obligated in tzitzis, for example, cotton or more so wool or linen, in those cases, I would say absolutely they are obligated. So men, rain ponchos are a good question, something that men wear that has four corners. However, rain ponchos are made generally from a non-woven material, and since they're made from a non-woven material, they're not obligated in tzitzis. That's the answer. So that's the reason we put it aside. Now, a person has to be careful of a case what's called Yatzo Schoro Be'afseido. You don't want this to be, you know, this idea, I'm trying to be Mekayim Mitzvah, and because I'm trying to be Mekayim Mitzvah, I end up doing a very big Avera, right? Because if I, in fact, what happens sometimes, my children, my kids, they're a bright bunch, and they hide the pieces of bread, sometimes I just can't find them, you know, and I'd say, I doubt half the years I end up with all 10. And I'm a pretty good looker, and it's not that our apartment, I can give you a tour of the apartment, it's not that big, you know, how many places could they put it? But, you know, they're very creative, these young ladies. So what do you do then? So a person has to be very careful. So the first thing you have to do is make sure that the pieces of bread are not that big. The avera of valye matzah is really only in a piece of bread that's the size of a kezias, meaning a kezias is a piece of bread that's made out of basically an olive's size of flour. We assume that an olive is around 1 fluid ounce, a shot glass. So therefore, how much bread can you make out of a shot glass of flour? A slice or so? So therefore, you should, when you put out the chametz, don't put any piece that's that big. That's A. B, people have a tradition to wrap it in aluminum foil. Why do you put it in aluminum foil? You don't want the crumbs to get all over the place. However, with the next day, you have to remember that when you're going to get rid of your chametz, you want to get rid of your chametz. You don't want to make it into toast. So that leads us to the next morning. The next morning, there is a mitzvah of beer chametz. Now, technically, Erev Pesach is not like other Erev Yom Tovim. Every other Erev Yontov is a special day because that night's going to be Yontov. Pesach's not that day. Pesach, it's much more. Is Mansha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, the days when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and in fact, hopefully very soon when we have one again, Erev Pesach is a very busy day. On Erev Pesach, everybody is bringing their Karban Pesach. Everyone's going to eat lamb chops that night, and therefore you have to bring lambs to bring the Karban Pesach. What time of day did they start bringing the Karban Pesach? They start bringing the Karban Pesach at midday. And in fact, it was very tight. Between midday and the end of the day, you have to do all the Karban Pesachs. Not every individual brought a Karban Pesach, but basically every family. A Karban Pesach, everybody had to get at least a kezias, an olive's worth of a lamb. So how many kezaisim are there in a less than one-year-old sheep? Maybe 10? So therefore, you needed one sheep for a maximum of 10 people. How many Jews were there that brought Karban Pesach? Millions. So how many Karban Pesachs were brought? Hundreds of thousands. And these all had to be brought in the six-hour window between midday and the end of the day. Right? So it was, the Gemara explains, it was a quite a to-do in order to get all these Karban Pesachs out. But that was a special day. Erev Pesach was a holiday. Erev Pesach had a certain amount of holiness unto itself, unrelated to Pesach that came afterwards, because this was the day that the Karban Pesach was brought. Because of the holiness of the day of Erev Pesach, there are certain laws that apply to it. The Ramah talks about that there are places that have the tradition. There aren't many places like this anymore, where people would not go to work. There was an Isser Malacha. You treated it as a full holiday. I think there are places in Yerushalayim that still treat it that way. Yossi, do you know? You ever hear of that? Isser Malacha? I've never seen it, but I've read of it.
When I was a child, they used to go bake matzahs there at Pesach.
Oh, that's for
and
sure.
The Rav was dressed Yontav Dik, was the kapote and the white socks. There was a Yontav for him. It wasn't work, nothing.
Right, right. So again, there definitely is this minute that is that they talk about. The Gemara, Makom Shenahagu, there are places where they had this tradition that they would not do any malacha on Erev's part of it. The next thing is that the Isser, the prohibition of Chametz, begins at the time that the Karban Pesach was brought. Meaning, technically, a person could not eat chametz from midday on. Now, of all the zmanim, midday is the trickiest, we talk about in the Gemara, because midday is when the sun is directly above. And it's very difficult to say when it's a little bit before or a little bit afterwards. So because of that, the Gemara tells us that they started a tradition that they wouldn't wait to midday to stop eating chametz, but rather, already 2 hours beforehand, they would stop eating chametz, and an hour beforehand, they would stop already getting hanah. All the chametz had to be gone by then, by the fifth hour. So that's why we'll send out an email from Eidos at some point. So what's the usual? Sov zman tefila, 4 hours of the day. That's the time you have to be done eating your chametz by. And by the fifth hour, you already have to be done with getting hanot. It all has to be burnt, etc. That is the zman bir, the chametz has to be burnt by then. What if someone hasn't sold their chametz yet? Until what time can you sell your chametz? Is it still yours? Technically, you can sell it till midday. I wouldn't recommend that you wait till the last minute, because I'm selling the chametz in New York, it's going to be gone by then. If someone, on the rare occasion, which happens about every other year, where some guy wakes up and either them or their child or their neighbor hasn't sold the chametz yet, and it's that late, what I usually do is I send them to California. I have them call up a rav in California. In California, you have an extra hour. They're not selling it until afterwards. And therefore, that gives us a little, if someone missed the time when we already sold it locally, you've got the extra hour over there. So that is the rules of Erev Pesach. So in Erev Pesach, we have to do the Bir Chametz, and we usually do it between the fourth and the fifth hour. Do it a little earlier. But up to fourth hour, you can still eat. And by the fifth hour, it has to be burnt. There is the machlokes in the sun. Yes. What was that? Joe, I didn't hear you.
This year, Pesach, if somebody's a bechor, do they have to fast all day? Did you hear?
We're going to get to that. We will get to the Tainus Bechorim. Okay, we're going to talk about a Manish Tana, why this year is different than every other year. And this year is very different than every other year. So in terms of the burning, that's already a little different this year. So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Bior Chametz has to be Bisreifa. That the way that you have to get rid of your chametz is by burning it. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim disagree. They say you can do it however you want to do it. If you want to take it and just throw the crumbs into the wind, that's also good. In general, we try to follow all opinions if it's not a big deal. So therefore, on most years, what we do is we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But even though, Me'ikar Hadin, we follow the opinion that it's not just the idea of, even though on most years we follow the opinion that, how do we just get Cal's screen? How do I get rid of it? So I'm not sure what happened here.
Cal's got to turn it off. Cal, turn, Cal turned on his screen sharing by accident. He turns it off.
Can I turn that off?
No, yeah, you can turn it off. Cal has to, actually.
Am I all right?
No, you're screen sharing. Click on stop, and it will stop you.
So where's the stop?
Stop video.
So I just leave the meeting.
Cal, we can see all your passwords.
Maybe sign off and sign back on.
All right, let me do that.
Stop participant sharing. I killed him. Ha ha. Good. All right. So on most years we try to follow all opinions. Why not? That's why most years we burn the chametz. Now, a lot of people argue that even on most years, that's not a great idea. Why not? Some people, they burn it in the aluminum foil. If you burn it in the aluminum foil, it ends up being just toast, but it's perfectly edible. You never got rid of the chametz, right? And even if not, I always have a hard time making a fire. It just never works well. So what we do in a lot of communities, in Eretz Yisrael, they do this. We happen to do this in most years in Washington Heights, is we have a communal fire. I've always said we should try to do this in the Edos. Get a big garbage can, get a big fire, and everyone can throw their chametz in. It would be a lot better idea. This year would be a bad idea. We don't want people coming out. So there are years that we don't do beer. What's an example of when we don't do beer? What is the type of year that we wouldn't do it? So we wouldn't do it, for example, on Erev Pesach, Chalios, B'Shabbos. On rare occasions, this is a very rare calendar, but the first night, the first Seder could be on a Motzei Shabbos. The first Seder is on a Motzei Shabbos. You have to get rid of your chametz on Erev Shabbos. You can't burn it. It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to burn things like that. So what do we do in those cases? You follow the Chachamim, which you're always allowed to do. So, for example, what you'll do in those cases, you flush it down the toilet.
Is that the Psak of Rav Schachter this year? That was the one that came from Rav Schachter, the Psak from Rav Schachter?
So again, Rav Schachter has come up with a series of psakim. Among the things that he said was this year in particular, he recommends that people do not go outside, try to get fires going, just flush it down the toilet, right? That's really Me'ikar HaDin. We're always allowed to do it. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. We follow the Chachamim in general. It is the majority opinion. And therefore, in any year, you're allowed to do it. And this year in particular, flush it down the toilet. Don't bother with the fire.
Why can't you just put it in a dumpster?
You can do that also. You can do it. Last year, I think that's what we ended up doing. Last year, I just couldn't get the fire going. We have to make sure, by the way, that it's not a Jewish dumpster.
Right. A non-Jewish
tzitzit. If you just put it in your garbage, right, that doesn't help. It's still yours, right? If you
go I got it.
The Jewish neighbor, but if there's a dumpster, if there's a public garbage pail, that's it. You throw it into the garbage pail. You say, you know, kol chamira vechamira, the ikabir shusi, the adana, the lo yadana. It's all a hefker. It's gone. And that's also fine. If you happen to have a non-Jewish dumpster by you, that's okay. You want to just flush it down your toilet? That works just as well. Those this year, for sure, that would be fine. In terms of Tainus Bechorim, so there is a tradition, a long-standing tradition, that since the on Erev Pesach was Tainus Bechoros, and all the Bechoros died, so all the firstborns that were lucky enough to be saved, right? So therefore, in showing appreciation, they continue to fast to this day. Now, it's not a most fasts. So we have one fast that's D'oraisa. Tisha B'Av is a Torah fast. It's mentioned, not Tisha B'Av, it's Yom Kippur is a Torah fast. When it comes to the four Churban Beis HaMikdash fasts, right, meaning that we're talking about Tisha B'Av, Shivasar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, and some Gedalia, those are Divrei Kabbalah. They're all mentioned in Zechariah. Then there's Tainus Esther, which is less than that. Tainus Esther is a tradition that we have, and Tainus Bechoros is even less than that. Tainus Bechoros, because it's a low, very low obligation, therefore, when it comes to Tainus Bechoros, we assume that if a person has a Sudas Mitzvah of any type, you're allowed to eat at the Sudas Mitzvah. Once you eat at the Sudas Mitzvah, you're good for the rest of the day, once you ate. So if a person has a bris on that day, or a pidyon habayin on that day, those are Sudas Mitzvahs. And
or a siyum.
On rare occasions, there's a siyum that happens to fall out on Erev Pesach. What would you know? You know, on rare occasion, it happens to happen. And the person who makes the siyum traditionally says, okay, you know, I am so happy that everyone's here. I want you to participate in the wonderful spread that I have set up of a thing of macaroons. And with that, everybody ends the fast. That is the tradition that that we do. This year, our shul's closed. This year, pretty much all the shuls are closed. So what are we going to do about seeing Bechoros? Rabbi Schechter has come out at this point with around 10 different tshuvas that he has written. One of them is on this topic. It's actually on two topics. This is one of the two topics. The other topic we'll discuss probably next time, and that is what are we going to do about Tfilas Tal? Because odds are that we're not going to be together. So what do you do with the first Musaf? Usually the Gabbai makes an announcement. And even if you're not in shul, you rely on that the Gabbai made an announcement. There's not going to be any announcement, it looks like, this year. So we'll discuss this afterwards. But regarding the Siyum Bechoros, Rabbi Schechter is of the opinion, since Siyum Bechoros is a low enough obligation to start with, he thinks that if a person participates in the Siyum via Zoom, that is good enough. So we wouldn't rely on this, for example, for a Siyum during the 9 days to allow Fleishiks. But in this case, we would allow this to happen, Rav Schechter Paskind. Based on that, Daniel Kasai will be making a Siyum via Zoom in the morning. And everybody is welcome to join in and have your own macaroons at home. And maybe have a little shlivovitz with him to show how excited you are about his Siyum. And that will be enough to take care of it as well. It's interesting. It seemed that there used to be a time when people actually fasted. So there's halachas. They say Aneinu on that day. You know, it's a tough one because, you know, you don't break your fast until you have two cups of wine. Then you have matzah and maror. That's how you break, and that's hours later. So it's probably not a very easy fast. I am not a Bechor. And even though the oldest daughter was also saved in Makos Bechoros, the minhag is that women do not fast on for Siyum Bechoros. So my family is generally unaffected by this.
Rabbi, when I was a child, yeah, we actually wash for a soda and shul was bread and sardines. It was really a soda. Nowadays, all you eat is
that's right.
Some juice. That's not really a soda. Right. like a fake Suda. Mm.
I happen to agree with that. I agree with that very much. I've always quipped that there's two Siyum I'd like to be at. I'd like to be at a Siyum during the 9 days where they serve Milchiks, and I'd like to be a Siyum on Erev Pesach where they serve Fleishiks. Right? During the 9 days, they say, how can we have a Siyum without eating Fleishiks? Then on Erev Pesach, there's never been a person who sent Fleishiks. Sardines is very much high end, I think, guys, if you want to think about what a Siyum is. The only other thing, obviously being that Erev Pesach is a yontif unto itself, right? We obviously don't say Tachnun, it's part of Nisan, but we don't even say Lam Natzeach. And also we don't say Mizmor Lesoda. Why don't we say Mizmor Lesoda? Mizmor Lesoda is said in the place of a Korban Toda. Korban Toda is a Shlamim, as we read in the last week Parsha. A shlamim was brought together with loaves of bread that were chametz, and you can eat a korban todah for 2 days, and you could not bring a korban torah and erev Pesach because you could not eat the bread the next day. So since you cannot bring a korban todah, we do not say mizmor l'soda, and that's the same reason we don't say mizmor l'soda on erev Yom Kippur, and that's the same reason we're not going to say mizmor l'soda through the entire Pesach. Because on Pesach, you cannot bring a korban todah, so we do not say the mizmor in its place.
Question. Yes. The korban todah didn't have to be eaten for 2 days. It could be eaten for 2 days. Also be eaten in 5 hours. So why do we not bring a korban todah Erev Pesach when we had the ability to consume all the bread in time?
Because Hilchos Karbanos is they would only bring a carbon if it was possible to use all the time. That's a din in general, not just here. That it has to be possible that you could eat at that time. So even though in a chinami. Now again, a carbon toda is as is a short time period, because most shlamims you get longer. So you only get the yom v'layla ad chatos. You don't even get 2 full days. So odds are they would eat in that time, but the halacha is it would only allow you to bring the korban if you had the ability to use the maximum amount of time.
So then why do we bring the korban todah the day before Erev?
If they don't bring the korban, we don't say the mizmor.
So then the day before Erev Pesach should already be out.
Again, it's you don't get 2 full days. It's only yom v'layla ad chatzos. Shlomim, you get 2 full days. Toda is an example, is an exception, because the Toda was given a shorter period of time. The Netziv in
we lost you.
Something, the Netziv said something.
Shlomo, we lost the rabbi.
Rabbi Rapp, you muted yourself.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you.
Good to be back again. So the Netziv in next week's Parsha discusses that Korban Shlomim gets 2 days, a Korban Toda really only gets basically 1 day. Yom v'layla ad chatzos. The reason was as follows, and it's a very nice piece. He says, because in general, he said, when somebody brings a korban, there's a lot of meat involved. By giving you a shorter period of time, what are you going to do? You can't have you can't have leftovers. So the Netziv says you're going to be forced to invite other people over. Then when you invite the other people over, they're going to say, why the barbecue? And you'll say, because I brought a korban todah. And they'll say, why did you bring a korban todah? He said, well, because this wonderful thing happened to me. I was saved, etc. So then at that point, he says, the people, he said, you'll have to get up and tell your story. He said, that's the most important part of the entire korban. The korban todah is that people should realize that there's something that you're thankful for. So that is the idea of the korban todah. So that's why he gets a smaller period of time. So you don't really have 2 days. So the day before, Yud Gimel, you wouldn't have a problem. It's only Yud Dalet where you would run into the problem. That's why only on Yud Dalet we don't say Mizmor Lesoda. The We'll do one or two more halachas. We discussed last year, if I remember correctly, in Shul, we spent some time talking about the minhag of saying halal in Shul on the night of Pesach, that there are different minhagim we spoke about, if I remember correctly, that Idos does not have the minhag to say it, even though Especially some individuals do. This year, you don't say it at all. This year, if you're at home, right, that's the halal, even the people who say halal in Pesach, only say it betoras tzibor, that we as a tzibor are recreating the going out. If you're not part of the tzibor, you do not say it. So that is one thing that is worth noting. One or two more halachas, and then we'll just pick it up next time. In terms of the matzah that you need for the Seder, so it says that at the Seder you require what they call is shmura matzah. What is shmura matzah? That's a machokas rishonim, right? There's different times that you can wash the matzah from, right? One, some matzahs is mishumor mishas katsira, meaning that what does it take to make matzah? So you've got to grow wheat, and then the wheat gets cut, and then it gets ground into flour, and then the flour gets mixed with water, etc. At some point, you have to make sure it didn't become chametz. For the time that it's planted, it wouldn't make sense to make sure it doesn't come in contact with water from then. Because if you plant seeds and they don't come in contact with water, your matzah is it's not going to work out. I'm not much of a farmer, but I know that much about Hilchos Shabbos, that that's not going to work. In terms of, but once you cut it, there's what to talk about. So when we buy in the store what's called shmura matzah, that's what we say, that's mishumar mishas katsira. From the time it gets cut, they make sure that it doesn't come in contact with water until the point where it gets mixed. The regular matzahs that you buy, right, the 5-pound packs, etc., the Yehuda matzahs, the Streitzer matzahs, whatever other brands that we're selling this year, those are mishuma mishas lisha. They only tell you that the time that the flour hits the water, that in fact the water is mishuma. There is, according to some rishonim, some serious rishonim, that's shmura matzah. That's all you need. That when it says you need shmura matzah, that's all you need. Other opinions say that no, it has to be mishuma mishas katsira. It has to be. Now, there are many people, Yossi, you have this minute that they only eat shmura matzah the whole Pesach.
The Hasidim eat shmura matzah the whole Pesach.
Right. My father-in-law, right, only eats shmura matzah. He goes, he buys only shmura matzah, half kashatza matzahs, right, because the Baba used to be very friendly with the Shatza Rebbetzin. She'd even buy her lulav and esrog by the Shatza Rebbetzin. Actual story. So the Hasidim Amakbet, that's a chumra ba'alma. There's no real reason for it. But when it comes to the matzah mitzvah, a person is supposed to have shmura matzah. If a person is stuck and they only have regular matzah, so you can rely on that. You can even make a bracha on it, because that's mishum or mishas lisha, because on a certain level that is considered a shmura matzah. Really, that's something you should try to be careful with. That everybody should make sure at the Seder to use shmura matzah. Now, when I say shmura matzah, I don't mean hand shmura matzah. Meaning that what makes something shmura is not that it's round and not that it's expensive, right? But rather, what's making shmura matzah is the fact that the flour was washed beforehand. In fact, there is something called machine shmura, which is perfectly fine. In fact, the Soloveitchiks were very careful that they would only use machine shmura. They would not use hand shmura, because the machines at this point are far more efficient than people who do their matzahs by hand. And because of that, they were very careful only to use machine shmura. One time I actually went to the Streitzer's matzah factory, and I went with my friend Shmuley Marcus, who was the grandson of Aaron Soloveitchik, who gave the Hashgacha. And while he was there, he picked up boxes of machine shmura matzah. It cost him $2 a box, which is significantly less than the hand shmura. So if a person is interested, they can get the hand shmura, and that's fine. Also, we have a very important ha'ara here that the one has to be careful with the hand shmos, that they shouldn't be broken. That you want to get at least three complete matzahs on it. A very important ha'ara that we got on the chat. But that's besides the point. A person should be careful that when you're preparing for your Seder, particularly someone who's not used to it, get yourself at least a few matzahs that you can use at the Seder. If you don't have it, that's fine. B'di'evit, you can do it otherwise, but this is something that's actually important. I'll just end with two comments that Rav Schefter has on his sukkim that are notable. So as we all know, some of us better than others, a lot of people are around for Pesach that weren't expecting it. Rav Schefter is of the opinion that b'di'evit, if a person really needs it, I don't know how you figure this out, you can kosher your dishwasher for Pesach. So he, in fact, if anybody's interested, I can give you instructions that Rav Schefter sent out, that if a person finds themselves in a difficult situation, you can kosher your dishwasher for Pesach. That's point number one. Point number two, that seems that a lot of people are asking the following question, that there are people who aren't going into their office at this point because of the shelter-in-place orders. And the question is, if you can't get to your office between now and then, can you sell your chametz because your chametz is in the office? Right now, my wife has a look of shock on her face as she realizes that her oatmeal is in her office in Stern right now, and it's not unreachable. So, in fact, as we said, that's a chiv kares, and, you know, that's your problem. No, actually, that's not what we said, but, in fact, the answer is that in the event that your chametz is there and you have complete ownership of it, you just don't have the ability to reach it right now, you still have the ability to sell your chametz. That's not a problem. Don't forget, again, maybe in other years, when you sell your chametz, you go to your office and you clear out, you know, the bottle of schnapps that you keep there for tough days or whatever else you might have there, or your oatmeal that you have there for a good breakfast. But, in fact, this year you should be careful. Make sure to sell the chametz in your office, particularly if you're not going to be able to make it. Any questions before we sign off? All right. Everybody should be well. Thank you. And we have I should just mention that the Council of Orthodox Synagogue Rabbis is sending out an email. I'll send it to you to send it out on our behalf about having guests for Seder. We are following what is being suggested by the OU and the RCA and the Agoda, all the organizations. It's nice to see. I've gotten along together with this. The idea is as follows. We are very much discouraging guests. This is the exact opposite of what we usually say in the cold district. However, for people who cannot make their own Seder, etc., they're saying that people should invite one person, only one person, over, and there are instructions on how to do it in a way that both the guests and the hosts remain absolutely safe. So an email will be going out. If anybody has any questions, they should reach out to me privately. And Thursday, next Sunday, we'll continue with Hilchos Pesach.
Who's Francis?
Francis. Boki, Illinois.
Chicago.